Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Over the past few weeks, WBUR has explored the personal sides of the three leading candidates for governor. This morning, we offer the final part in our series. WBUR's Fred Tice recently joined the incumbent, Governor Deval Patrick, in the kitchen of his home in Milton and filed this report.
Deval Patrick is famous for his love of cooking, and I'm looking forward to a morning in the kitchen with him, but I'm about to be disappointed. That's because by the time I get to his sage green Colonial Revival house in Milton at 10:15 on a Saturday, he's already made quiche for a New England cable news crew. He offers me the last piece.
Thank you very much. Oh, this is beautiful.
The quiche has all sorts of things from local farms that were brought to the... Yeah, it may need a little salt. It's all right?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
It's so good.
A little breakfast. The crust is not my best, but the...
But you made the crust yourself, right? Yeah, you can tell.
The onions are local. The eggs are local. The cream is local. The kale is local. I've never put kale in a quiche, but it seemed as easy as spinach. Did I mention the cheese was local as well?
Cooking is such a big part of Governor Patrick's life that it's how he's made some of his friends. Morgan Mead became good friends with Patrick when the two of them were house-sitting in Lincoln the summer before Patrick began Harvard Law School.
Characteristically for him, he was having some people over for lunch to celebrate the 4th of July, and we were standing at the kitchen sink shelling peas for this lunch he was putting on, this 21-year-old, and we started to talk, and it was the first time we had really had a conversation, and he was such a great listener, and I think that really is why we became friends. I think he's the best listener I know.
Mead, now an English teacher at Concord Academy, remembers another cooking adventure with Patrick.
Dropping in to see him in Brooklyn once when he and Diane had just gotten married and they'd bought this house in Park Lefferts where her family was from, and he went off and got lobsters and grilled us lobsters on the grill, and it was about 110 degrees outside, and he made this fire and stood over the fire. And
We had a wonderful house in Brooklyn, an old late 1800s townhouse that had been owned by Alice Walker, the author.
Your own book, where is it?
Patrick's autobiography was due to be published this year.
It's almost done. You know, most of it had been done before I even went to talk to a publisher.
And when is the publication date?
Next year, we trust.
Okay, so if you lose this election, will the publisher still be interested in publishing it?
Oh, my gracious, don't even ask a question like that.
But losing the election is a very real prospect. As the fall campaign is about to get underway, though, Democratic political analyst Dan Payne says Patrick's fortunes seem to be rising.
I think he's doing a pretty good job, considering that a year ago he was pretty much counted out for re-election. It was, you know, really a matter of time before he would lose. But in the last 6 months or so, he's really turned things around. He's focused on his base. He's used his strengths as a public speaker. And he's been a little more feisty with his opposition than he had been.
What do you want to do in your second term?
I want to finish what we started. We're leading the nation in job gains.
Close. In July, Massachusetts gained more jobs than any other state except Michigan.
But we still have a lot of people out of work, so we got to stay on that path, and I want to finish that.
After Rhode Island, Massachusetts has the highest unemployment rate in New England.
And what are you proudest of in this first term?
Everything from ending abuse in the state pension system to tightening the ethics and lobbying rules to simplifying the transportation network, abolishing the Turnpike Authority to civilian flaggers at state construction sites to lowering people's auto insurance rates by introducing competition. Of all those reforms, though, education reform in some ways is the most personally important to me because for that whole 17 years we've been on this course of improving the public schools, we've had a persistent achievement gap. And stuck in that gap, Fred, are poor children and children with special needs or who speak English as a second language, more often than not children of color. And, you know, those are our kids, too.
Now, In my life, people come up to me and they say, and I, these are people I often think would be inclined to vote for you. And they say, what has he accomplished? Does it bother you that there are people out there who don't know what you've been able to accomplish?
I don't know if it bothers me so much as I recognize it as a challenge. I think one of the biggest challenges I have found in this job is being heard over all the folks who stand on the sidelines and root for failure. I also think there's a part of this job, the bragging part of the job, which is absolutely essential if you want people to know what you've accomplished, but is not my comfort zone. I mentioned this to the president when he was here in the fall about that and the fact that I don't like asking people for money. And he said, get over it.
How often do you talk to him?
It's intermittent. You know, he's the leader of the free world, so I'm reluctant to just call him up to chat.
I wonder, do you have a typical day as governor?
No. That's part of what's fun about being governor, though, isn't it? I mean, my day starts about 5 or 5:30. It's when I'm usually up. I take a quick look at stuff online and at my email. I get some exercise a couple days a week. And I'm usually out of the house not too long after that, you know, by 7, 7:30, something like that. And then I'm just moving around. And the day usually ends about last events, maybe 9:30 or so. We do a close of day or end of day call with both the political and the governor's office leadership, the chief of staff in particular. And I'm in bed by, you know, as soon thereafter as I can be, 11, something like that.
It sounds like the only part of your day that you really have some control over is very early in the morning. Is that right?
Before the demands of the day. The job is a gas, even on a dark day, on a difficult day. You know, when we've had to make so many painful decisions in order to be fiscally responsible.
The kitchen seems like a refuge from those painful decisions. The daylight filters through the rhododendrons wrapping around the house. Diane Patrick comes downstairs, and it's thanks to her that I finally get to see the governor in action in the kitchen. She asks him to whip up an omelet for her.
Yeah, I'll have one of those fresh tomatoes with it, Tom.
Okay. Fresh tomatoes in the
refrigerator. Here in his kitchen, Deval Patrick is the master. Then it's out to the rest of the world, where he will spend the rest of the day campaigning to keep his day job. For WBUR, I'm Fred Tice.
Wow. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.